B-Pod Studios.
There's a lot more to worry about than
Toucher and Rick. It's a real nightmare. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Food for thought. Shout out to the USA women's soccer team for their fourth World Cup. But what I want to talk about is they only get $90,000 per player. But the men, if they win it, they get $500,000 per player. The sorry-ass men from the U.S. soccer team ain't ever won ain't gonna ever win can't even get out the first round. Man, pay them ladies, man. Pay them girls what they worth. The women should be getting $500,000 per athlete. Snoop Dogg says so. Yeah, I'm rocking with that. Them girls done won four World Cups. And $90,000? Man, please. Pay them $500,000 per player. Snoop Dogg says so. USA Soccer. Let's go, girls. The marathon continues.
I'll tell you what, Snoop Dogg, very available.
He loves getting on his Instagram and just making videos about stuff. Which, to be quite honest, fairly entertained by almost everything he says.
I wonder how many of these things he's paid to do.
Did you ever watch The Joker's Wild with Snoop Dogg?
I have not.
It's great. It's way better than you think it's going to be.
Let me guess, he's just smoking weed and doing the thing.
Well, I mean, just like, it's, yeah, it's, he's doing that in the categories or like types of, you know, strains of weed and everything. Dude, it's great. It's almost like a Dr. Dre chronic skit come to life. The $1,000 sack pyramid, it's not too far from that.
Oh, who invented the skits during the, that was a band called De La Soul.
I would say that Ice-T on the Power album.
Perhaps. Charlie Davies played for the U.S. men's national team in the New England Revolution. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hello, Mr. Davies.
Hello. It's a pleasure to join you guys this morning.
All right. So, okay. There's a couple things going on here that there's... Okay, so there's a guy named Hardy who works here at the station. He works with the Revolution, and he has talked to, not necessarily from the Revolution, but he's talked to some high-profile or at least professional coaches, and they have said just how inferior the women's game is compared to the men's game in terms of style of play. Is that something that you agree with?
Well, at this moment, the women are phenomenal, and I couldn't stop talking about the quality of these players, especially in this World Cup. Tobin Heath, Rose Lavelle, Megan Rapinoe, a ton of quality. But you can't compare the quality of player to from women to men as far as when you compare it to a Leo Messi or Cristiano Ronaldo to a Megan Rapinoe or a Tobin Heath. It's like comparing WNBA players to NBA players. They can't physically match up with.
No, I understand men. This was more of like a style of play. Like the men's game is much more like intricate, and there's much more going on than in the women's game.
I mean, it's tough to say because when you watch the women, they're the best at what they do. They're by far the best team in the world.
Right.
So when you compare what they're doing to the rest of the world, they're head and shoulders above everyone else. And so it's not fair to compare them to the men or their style of play because it's completely two different games.
I guess, Charlie, the main question is, and I think a lot of people who are watching the domination from the women is, how is it that the American women are so unbelievable, yet the American men can't get anywhere near that level or haven't been able to within the past several years? Why is there such a difference or a swing in the pendulum between one and the other, Charlie?
Yeah, it's sad because in 2009, in the Confederations Cup, the year prior to the World Cup, we made it to the finals.
Yep.
And we beat Spain, who hadn't lost a match in 2 years, who eventually won the World Cup the following year. So when you look at expectations going into that 2010 World Cup and to following 2014 World Cup, this U.S. men's program should have come away with something, whether it's getting into a semifinals of a World Cup or getting to a World Cup final. Those steps should have been made. Now, I'm not so sure if it was the head coach, Jurgen Klinsmann, if things didn't line up with his vision and the the quality of player that the Americans had. I'm not so sure, but it's definitely very disappointing when you look at the trajectory of the men's team. Now, haven't been to an Olympics since 2008, and when you look at the women's game, the rest of the world hadn't caught up to you know, funding the women's soccer program. The United States were ahead of the curve in that. The men's were very late. 1990 was their first World Cup, you know, really in my lifetime, seeing them compete. They just weren't there yet. 94 was a huge step forward for the sport in our country because, you know, they made it out of the group and the World Cup was in the U.S. I think everyone finally said, oh, okay, this is a sport that we can get behind, we can watch. And then 96 is when MLS started as a league. So the American, you know, foundation of soccer is really a late bloomer. And that's similar to the rest of the world in the women's sport.
Right, so you guys got screwed.
yeah, but now when you look at the caliber of athletes that the Americans have, there's no reason why the U.S. men's should not be competing for a World Cup at this day and age.
Yeah, now everyone's playing soccer, that's for sure. All right, one more thing. I don't mean to be taking the pee out of the women's team, but one thing that we have read is that the under-15 Dallas FC...
FC Dallas
club beat the women's national team. How much should you read into that?
I mean, it's when I was under 14s playing for you know, the Greater Boston Bolts in Massachusetts, we played the professional team, the Breakers, and we beat them 7-0. So it's one of those things where you can't take away what the women do in their sport against women. When you compare men to, and that's where I think it gets lost in translation about how much money should they make? Should they be paid, you know, the same as the men? Because the men, on, you know, kids, high school, college teams can beat the women national team. Well, that's not fair because they're not playing against men in their.
No, I think they should be paid. I have no question that they should be paid because they're
outselling the men.
They're revenue generators.
Yeah.
Sure.
Right. If they're revenue generators, then absolutely they should be paid. But it does sound, but so it's not something that's uncommon that like a 15 and under team could beat an elite women's team.
No, it's not uncommon. If you're talking about an elite group of young men, then yes, it's not uncommon. But I can tell you this: I've played pickup soccer with, let's say, Samantha Mewis this off season, and she held her own against former pros, current college Division I players. She held her own, and she can play. So it's not about, you know, in the past, I think you'd see some women play against, you know, young former professionals or Division I. They're off the pace, and they look really out of place. Samantha Mewis looked like she was in place. She belongs playing with that group of men, so the level of play and quality that the women have now is far superior than it was in the past.
In order for the men to catch up to the women, or at least approach them on this kind of level, does the U.S. need to produce a signature soccer star that every player or every kid knows of and buys T-shirts of? I mean, I guess Pulisic would be as close as you can get at this point, but does the U.S. have to produce that kind of guy to push the program over the hump?
That's going to help. I mean, when you have Christian Pulisic playing at Chelsea, if he really succeeds and hits the ground running in England, in the English Premier League, the most watched league in the world, then yes, now kids have a role model. Kids want to aspire to be Christian Pulisic and play with Christian Pulisic. So if we start producing more stars who are playing consistent minutes in the English Premier League or in La Liga in Spain and against the Real Madrids and Barcelonas of this world, that's only going to help the men's national team in the future. And I've always said, in 2026, when the World Cup comes back to the United States, I think we're going to have a team that can finally compete for the World Cup title. We'll have a team that will have a foundation, players that are playing in Europe. MLS would have blossomed now into a league that's, you know, top six in the world. Those are the expectations. So in 2026, I I really, truly believe we'll finally have a team that can win a World Cup.
Well, I'll be long dead by then. Charlie's Davies, thank you so much.
I hope not.
All right, thank you. We appreciate the time. All right, there you go.
But the only thing about that, all that, is that even if they did lose to that under 50, it doesn't take away from what they did. I mean, their only goal was to beat everyone in their path. They did that over and over and over, won championships. And the other thing is, too, and this is something I completely forgot about yesterday when they were discussing this, is that, you know, even the Dream Team lost in a scrimmage to a college team.
Daly chucked the game. If you watch it,
well, I mean, when you're a team and you're playing in a scrimmage, Daly, it doesn't Daly, mean you're
Daly,
trying.
Daly chucked the game.
Yeah, Daly made sure they lost.
Well, Charlie just said that it would happen. That elite youth players that cannot yet drive.
But what does that prove? That men are better than women.
No, okay, that but kids the women are better than women. Andrew, go ahead.
But it's a men and women thing, right. And that shouldn't matter. The women are the best at what they've done. They play women.
If you're a team of 14, 15
years. Charlie Davies just said they beat the Breakers, by the way, are a women's professional soccer team that he and his buddies beat when he was under 14.
Yeah, I mean, that does say something. Andrew, go okay, real quick. Andrew, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey.
I mean, it's pretty simple. It's all based upon revenue and how much you bring in versus how much you get cut of the pie. The Men's World Cup brings in like $400 million, so the prize pool is bigger. The Women's World Cup generates about $30 to $50 million.
Okay, Andrew, I'm going to cut you off because it's two different things. I think we all agree that the pie of the winning prize for this World Cup tournament, the reason that it's skewed is because all over the world, the revenue and the sponsors, you're right, the men brought in more money. I don't think the women are complaining about that. What they're complaining about is their salary as a player here in America should be equal or more because they are grossing more. Ticket sales, advertising, jerseys that are sold. They have more eyes on the television when they're playing here in America. The World Cup is something completely different because you're right, the economics back up that the prize should be bigger for the men's because it's a worldwide pot. It's not just for America.
Right. Agreed. Okay.
All right. Well, Rich, there you go.
Well, I actually looked a lot into that because I wanted to kind of figure out what they were talking about. And it's true. More people in America are watching the women. And, I mean, obviously, there's more recognizable names. You named somebody like a soccer. What was his name?
Christian Pulisic.
I have no idea who that is.
Well, the reason
I have no idea who that person is. I can name probably five people on this women's team.
They just played.
He's the stud soccer player on the U.S. national team. He's the star.
The sex machine.
I disagree with what Charlie Davies said in one aspect. In order for soccer to become popular here, you have to have a great U.S. player succeed in the MLS.
Yeah, and not go overseas.
No, you're right. Because no one watches as more pop as important
more people,
as those.
More
league,
people watch the Premier League than they watch MLS.
I think locally, though, you need a stud U.S. player in the MLS.
I disagree. I think you need a guy who's playing for Arsenal or Man United. That's a U.S. born player.
And you need to open a stadium in the city. Put it right next to the Encore. Make it the Entertainment District, baby.
Yeah, that's right. You got to put it right there.
What do they call it? The Everett Revolution.
Yeah.
It'd be perfect.
Oh, it would be great.
I mean,
Bird would be their mascot.
Revolution. What the hell is that?
How old was Davies' team when they beat the Breakers?
He was under 14.
Oh, my God.
14 and unders. They beat a women's professional soccer team that included some of the players from that 1999 women's team that won the world, that won the first World
Cup. Do you honestly think the women's team is going all out when they play 14-year-old boys?
Yes.
Come on. It's a scrimmage. And it's against kids. Do you think they're going all out?
I understand that, but didn't Davies say they beat them like 7-0?
Yes.
8-0.
And because, whatever they can't.
Because they weren't trying.
Okay, Rich, you don't know that.
You just said that the Dream Team wasn't trying.
Pride? No, it's different.
Daly did it to motivate the team right before they went away.
And how did he do it?
He manipulated the lineup so they would lose.
So you're telling me that their players still, they're on the Dream Team.
Rich,
even the worst players of the Dream Team couldn't beat them.
They should be able to play with one leg and beat 14-year-old kids.
The women, and they didn't. Your pride. And they did eventually come out somewhere. I think
it didn't with the Dream Team.
Jesus, Rich! And the Dream Team, by the way, was playing an elite squad of college kids. They weren't playing a 13-year-old NAA team.
No, they're playing 18-year-old kids and men
and 22-year-old kids and 21-year-old kids.
Yeah, back
and future pros.
Back then,
I mean, they were playing guys that were going to be in the
Bobby Hurley was a point guard on that college team.
Weber was on that college team.
Weber was on that team. Sure.
Yeah. I mean, come on. It's apples and oranges.
I agree.
All right. We will take a break, but there are things going on in Everett. The Encore Casino is not the only thing. There is craziness in the air. and we will talk about that.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
There's a lot more to worry about than
Toucher and Rich. The Real Night Man. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Food for thought. Shout out to the USA women's soccer team for their fourth World Cup. But what I want to talk about is they only get $90,000 per player. But the men, if they win it, they get $500,000 per player. The sorry ass men from the US soccer team ain't ever won, ain't gonna ever win, can't even get out the first round. Man, pay them ladies, man. Pay them girls what they worth. The women should be getting $500,000 per athlete. Snoop Dogg says so. Yeah, I'm rocking with that. Them girls done won 4 World Cups. And $90,000? Man, please. Pay them $500,000 per player. Snoop Dogg says so. USA Soccer. Let's go, girls. The marathon continues.
I'll tell you what, Snoop Dogg, very available.
He loves getting on his Instagram and just making videos about stuff. Which, to be quite honest, fairly entertained by almost everything he says.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Every day.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Toucher and Rich. Austin's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bright light ever gonna set my soul, is gonna set my soul on fire. A gold brick adjacent to a chemical plant. All the townies, they are gonna hire. You got Mike's roast beef just across the street. A guy in a Celtics jersey with bare feet. Spilling vodka and Red Bull all over his seat. So,
Viva Las Everett. Viva Las Everett. Viva, Viva Las Everett.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Do you want to take this card? Do you want to get right to...
Yeah, I guess we can take it. This is kind of interesting, and then we'll move on.
All right. I can't pronounce your name. I'm sorry.
Is it Francis?
Francesco.
Francesco. Hey, how's it going?
What's up?
How's it going, guys? First of all, I appreciate the show and the conversation and talking about soccer, so thanks for that.
No problem.
So first thing, two things. First thing is it's common that women's teams will play against boys' teams to prepare for international competition or a big game, usually a U15, U14 team, and they'll play a U.S. national team, they'll play a club team. Tony DeChico was my club coach for Oakwood, and he won the World Cup. He was the U.S. women's national team coach. The year that they won the World Cup, they played my Oakwood team.
The Mia Hamm team, right?
The Mia Hamm team, the Michelle Akers. Yep. And we won 2-0. It's common that it happens. So I know Charlie's right. You know, they always play a U14, U15 team. So that's the same reason why girls who are 16, in order to get better, play with 13-year-old boys. It's because the athleticism, the preparation, it's just what it is. It's just a different level of game. That doesn't take anything away from what the women have done. They're more recognizable. They deserve all the credit they can do.
Were they playing hard against you during that scrimmage?
Yeah, of course. They want to win. Do you think they want to lose the 14-year-old boys? You know, they have a point to prove no matter who they are. So there's no doubt that they are playing all out. It's just that we're at 15, 14 years old, very fast and strong, and it's hard to defend us, you know, and they did well. They kept the ball low. They were, you know, professional about everything. It's just that when it comes down to it, we can hit a ball over the top and someone can go and sprint onto it and score a goal, you know, and that's a little bit of the difference. But it's a common occurrence that it happens, and it's the reason why the women have progressed so much, because they have this another level of competition in this country that they can play against. They can always play against a boys' team or a high school age group team and then get better for it. The problem for us as men is, unless we're going to Europe, we're not finding that same competition. Right. So, you know, so if we're going to Europe, the Pulisic's, the guys that end up going abroad, they all shine and really grow as players, and then they come back more prepared. But without that opportunity,
thank you,
you know.
Thank you, Francesco. Appreciate it.
I don't know. There's just something about losing the little kids that bugs me. All right, Bird, come in here. He is the king of Everett.
Cool.
He is coming in. He is the king of Everett. Here he comes. And Rich knows the story. I do not, but I do not want to hear the story from Rich. I want to hear the story from the man himself.
Straight from Bird?
Straight from the man by name of
How's
Bird.
The roast beef?
All right. So, Bird.
What's up?
Okay. So, do you know what we're talking about?
Sort of.
Okay. Now, what is... Okay. That's a really bad way to sit in the mic. Really
so the strange. Microphone is now in your chest.
Yeah, he was hugging
so,
it.
So unless we want to hear your heartbeat.
That was weird.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, here, Bert. I would adjust the chair instead of the mic.
Okay. Here we go.
I can't believe we're doing this. All right, there you go.
All right. So, Bert. Yeah.
He's in radio.
Sort of.
I'll break it. I don't want to break it.
All right. So, I know you're a strong man. All right. So, Bert, there is a little bit of upheaval in your life right now.
Yes.
Okay. So, just as a background, you currently live in Everett.
Yes.
And who do you live with?
My parents.
Okay. And you live where?
Everett.
Okay, I
third floor. Third floor.
The third floor. Because you have a third floor bedroom and you live with your parents.
Is there anyone else living there?
My sister as well.
Okay, and her child?
No.
Okay.
No. They have a place in PB. I have two sisters.
Okay. So it's your sister, you have the third floor. Is your third floor to yourself?
Yes.
Okay. And now what is happening?
My parents bought a house in Revere.
Ooh, really?
No, Port of Pines in Revere. It's right by the beach.
Is that allowed? You're allowed to move out of Everett?
Yes. My girlfriend still lives in Everett, so I'll be over there a lot.
All right, well, that's kind of the point.
But so that's like a mile away, right?
Oof. No, more than a mile away.
Really? Okay.
Like a mile and a half. All right, so...
Jesus.
All right, so he's like...
So you're basically going to another planet.
He's Christopher Columbus.
Oh, God. Make sure the world doesn't stop and you fall off the edge.
Like that episode of Seinfeld where...
my God.
When Kramer goes downtown. All right, so... You are not happy about this.
Not really. No, I'm not happy. Not too much. I mean, I never thought they would sell the house. And and I'm a little disappointed, but, you know, that's life. My mother wants to be by the ocean for whatever reason. And I've gotten arguments with her. I'm like, why don't we be close to the ocean? Like, you go to Swampscott, you go to, like, you know, Gloucester. But no, she wants to go somewhere by Lynn or Revere.
So now she's downsizing, though, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Does that mean... You will no longer have a room in the new Bird family household.
It's small.
There is one, but it's a small room?
Yes.
And that pisses you off?
Yeah. No, because they're like, you're going on the first floor and we're all going upstairs on the second floor. I go, why? Because one, you're up for Touch and Rich in the morning and you don't get home till like midnight for Fenway. So you're on the first floor, you get a small room. And my mother's like, I want you out of there, but like within a year. I'm like, I have no problem with that. That's fine.
She put
a preemptive strike.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
So she's fine. Now, how old are you now, Bird?
I'm 37. It's time for me to get out.
Okay. I was like, no, it's just
financially, just.
All right.
So,
I know it's sad.
How did they break the news to you?
Over like family group text. We bought a house.
A family group text.
Yes.
Okay.
We got the
you
house.
You live together. Why did they have to text you? This is a pretty big deal.
I was working at Fenway when they steal the deal in Revere.
Okay. They texted, we bought a new house.
Yep.
And then did the text say that you're going to have to move out a year?
No.
And
no,
you get the
no,
small
no.
room.
I came home that next day or two. They're like, look, you can stay, but we want you out of the house by within the year. I'm like, fine. I'll be out of the house by New Year's. So I'm like, I got.
Oh, wow! Man.
You pushed up the days.
You want to be out by a year, dude? I'll give you.
Oh six yeah.
Months. Do you really think that your parents would make you leave?
No. Yeah. But like, me and my girlfriend were discussing. Like, she'll be done with school within a year and a half. She'll be an RN, and then we could look for our own place in our own house.
So, like, in a year and a half.
Yeah.
Is realistic for
yeah.
you.
Yeah, but if
you were just kind of like going, oh, screw you, I'm going to leave by New Year's.
I was like, screw you, I'm leaving by New Year's.
Yeah, but you didn't mean it.
No.
All right. So
meanwhile, there's the trek over to Revere where it's
the needs of the many.
It's like you're in the space.
The needs of the few.
That's right.
I don't recognize this.
It's a Walmart.
All right. So now this room is how much smaller than the room you have now?
My father did the measurements for me. It's like I lose like a 3 or 4 feet within length. I'm like, okay. He's like, you get rid of this, you keep that, you keep that.
Hang on, you're complaining about being a smaller room, but it's 3 to 4 feet?
Smaller. No, I'm not complaining. It's just like the way they make it sound like it's like the size where Wallach is to that wall. Like that's how small it is. They're making it sound like it's like this small.
But you haven't seen it yet?
No, I haven't.
You haven't because you don't want to pay the gas.
The lady's still there, living there.
Oh, the lady's still there.
When do you move?
They're not putting our house up until August. The lady's moving out July 18th. Like, one-way ticket. Whatever my parents paid for her, she's taking a one-way ticket, and she's going to Europe and never coming back.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So by Europe, you mean...
It's because the house is on it.
By Europe, he means Malden. So do you want to... I mean, you can't, like, knock on the door and go, hi, we're moving in. Can I see my room?
No. My father, a couple of weeks ago... took me and we drove by the house. I'm like, really? We can't like knock on the door and say hi. And then my sister went with her boyfriend randomly and she just walked right in the backyard with her in the house. I'm like, Jenna, you can't do that.
Are you gonna miss all your Everett friends?
No, please.
Do they know how to get to Revere? Can they find you if they need to?
Yes.
Okay. Now,
most of them Winthrop and Saugus.
Now, are you going to have to get more horrible tattoos to hang out in Revere Beach?
No tattoos.
You don't have tattoos?
You have to learn the local language?
Probably.
Yeah. Well, it's a different
dialect. We'll just bring a little bit of Everett to Revere.
It's like if you go to London, then you go up to Glasgow. Like, there's a different...
Sure, it's a dialect. Language, right.
It's a different dialect.
Oh, right. You guys will appreciate this. It does not have a front porch. And my mom's like, this isn't happening. We are building one as soon as she moves out, we're away.
You gotta have the front porch.
Now, will you be able to have as much fun in the streets in Revere as you do now?
I don't think so. Because when I was driving, it's a one-way street. It was like parking on one side. I don't know. It's kind of tight down there. But we do have our own private beach, so that's fun.
We have your mother on the phone here.
I was in Miami with my new beach house. Well, it was a couple minutes from the beach.
How far are you from the beach? How far are you?
On the beach.
Huh?
You're on the beach? Beach.
You're legit on the beach, like maybe a couple hundred yards.
Really? Well, that's nice. I can see why she'd want to move there.
Yeah.
So that's her forever home.
Yes.
And yours?
No. No. But she did say to me when I move out, when they're older, do you want the house? I'm like, do you and Rebecca want the house? I'm like, yeah, sure.
So hang on. So she's already assuming that you and Rebecca are going to get married.
Yeah, no, we talked about it.
Has she asked you, like, why haven't you married Rebecca?
Well, she wants to finish her college stuff for her RN stuff. And then I'm like, maybe I'll get engaged.
How long have you been together now?
Hang on a second. Because almost 3 years. Do you think she's been able to finish school when you got to take care of Bird 24/7? I mean, she's not going to be able to get her work done. All right, so you're going to get married. Did you tell your parents that you banged her in a Honda Pilot?
No. I no.
Do they ever listen to the show?
No. My parents don't listen to the show.
Why? They're too good?
No, because they don't like when you bust my balls. They get really offended.
So is there going to be a go-away party at Mike's Roast Beef?
Maybe a future porch party, too.
Do you think there'll be... Honestly, do you think there'll be tears when you move?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Do you think the neighborhood will gather around?
No. Our neighbors will miss us. They're really cool people.
Okay.
Yeah, because they're like they have a pool. They get mad at me when I don't use their pool. And I'm like, I don't want to use your pool. You have teenage daughters and younger kids there. That's kind of disgusting.
All right.
I don't want to do that. That's gross.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Do you want to talk to my wife about all this?
Oh, yeah. I definitely want that conversation to happen.
By the way, Megan Rapinoe is wearing sunglasses indoors now.
Okay, so
now sunglasses are indoors.
Now this, Fred, I will give you.
Thank you.
I had a major problem with you like ripping on them wearing sunglasses while they're outdoors
she
doing
is
interviews.
The only one out of all of the players wearing sunglasses.
Megan Rapinoe is wearing sunglasses indoors unless it's just because she's been on a 48-hour bender.
Yeah, but I don't know how glasses help.
Well, it's because no one can see how banged up your eyes are.
I've been pretty hungover, and I'm not worried about my eyes.
She's the only one out of the entire team wearing sunglasses for this interview.
Well, she's the star until until a couple of days where it goes back to the girl with the movie. Who's the
Alex Morgan?
Alex Morgan. Because Alex Morgan is really the star.
She is for now, yes.
Oh, I think
so. Oh, the Rapinoe got the golden boot.
Who?
The Rapinoe.
Oh, the woman with the...
She got the golden boot.
Yes, for most goals and assists in the tournament, yes.
No, I don't dislike the woman. I just think that it's a little douchey to wear sunglasses inside and outside if you're being interviewed. You take them off. That's all I got to say. All right, so you do want to talk to my wife here?
That's up to you. This is completely up to you.
You're asking my opinion. I want this to happen.
No, I don't care.
Okay, sure. Yes.
Okay, fine. Yes. We will talk to my wife. Here are the headlines.
Something.
Wonder Woman was there, but she's lost all her powers.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. We got into a conversation earlier that about my wife and I arguing about something. They had her on the phone, and now it's that we've called the home phone, and something is going on. It's been 47 seconds. of 50 seconds of calling.
Yeah, it's the Bird production.
Oh, boy.
Did she answer the phone?
Nope.
Texting right now?
He has my phone.
Oh, she's not-
Bird, did you call the right number? Here, it's her. Hello? Hello? Hello?
Hello?
What's it like to talk to Bird on the phone?
He was fine. No, there's something wrong with the home phone. I didn't realize it. It's not his fault.
Oh, so now everything doesn't work in the house.
Bird just put his fist up like, yes!
Yes, I did something. I got someone on the phone.
Vindication.
Bird, you are off the hook. He did not do anything wrong.
Thank right. you, Bird.
So you have obsessive compulsive disorder, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So things that would bother, you are bothered by things that might not bother most people.
Okay.
Are you agreeing or disagreeing?
I think there's a select type of person with the same condition as me that would probably be annoyed by certain things that you may have about okay. that you're about to talk about.
Yeah, okay. So you said you compared and said that they were about even. The idea that there will be very little hair in the sink after I shave. So you leaving a product that you use once a month in the toilet?
It was not intentional. It was obviously an accident. And I don't leave it there with the intention of knowing that you're going to clean
hair.
It up.
I don't leave hair in the sink intentionally. But I just want. But you're saying like they're equal.
No, I mean, no, they're not equal. Of course, it's gross. I mean, you shouldn't have to see that. And that obviously was an accident. There was no intention. But
It happens more than you'd think.
Okay. But every time you shave, there's always, we have one sink. It's not like we have two sinks and you can do whatever you want in your other sink. It's a shared space.
Is this more about not having a big enough house?
Yes, Fred.
All right. So what you're saying is that what the hair in the sink is not as bad as the crimes you've committed.
No, not at all. I mean, it's gross. You shouldn't have to see that.
Okay. Well, will you be more heads up now about the whole thing?
It's not like this happens every single month. It's happened maybe a handful of times in our 18 years of being together.
Yeah. But you've managed not to fart in front of me.
Yeah.
For 18 years.
Yep. Weirdo.
So how did you manage to do that? Because here's the thing is that we were arguing about, and I'm like, and I'm like joking around about what she did. And then she's like, well, you leave hair in the sink. And I'm like, what are you talking about? like someone bombed Hiroshima. And you're like, well, you gave me a paper cut.
So you're saying that because she hasn't farted in front of you and that takes a certain amount of diligence, you're hoping she would utilize that same amount of diligence for the monthly.
Farting is 1,000 times worse than what I've seen.
Farting, and you and I will disagree on that.
Farting, I go to a hotel.
Yeah, and Rich, and now he's trying to put that on my daughter, too. You can't be doing that to a 9-year-old.
What is this?
What?
I don't care for my 9-year-old farting.
Yeah, I mean, that's
crazy.
What's
wrong with you?
I mean, it's crazy.
It's not ladylike.
What is wrong with you?
But kids find farts funny.
Yeah.
Don't you want to hear the laughter of children?
Especially in my house, they find it is extremely funny.
Yeah, but I mean, when it's a boy...
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't.
And in your face.
I don't. Well, that's.
This is a wildly sexist response, Fred.
Milo farted in my face yesterday, and he said, I should have done it to mom. It's funny when I do it to mom. I don't say anything to Zoe about farting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure she would. By the way, Zoe's a senior in high school. No, I don't say anything to Zoe about farting.
You do from time to time.
How often?
Because she always says to me, Mommy, why does Daddy always say girls can't fart?
Because they'll start, I don't even want to talk about it, but they'll start mm-hmm. nonsense talk. And then I have to say, girls don't fart with tongue firmly in cheek. Oh, she has no problem farting in front of me. What are you talking about? Now everyone's going to get upset at me.
Good.
All right. Well, that's, you know... That's food off your plate, sister.
I know.
All right. Well, listen.
I know.
So, you know, maybe you clean up your act a little bit.
Yes. I'll get on that.
All right.
I'll get on that today.
Huh?
I'll get on that today.
All right, Devil Woman. Thank you.
All right. Love you. Bye.
Girls don't fart.
Yep.
See, I don't even think it's like something like I don't think Mary's ever done it. Maybe once by accident, but I don't even remember the time it happened. But I don't remember.
Sounds like it's far more often than that.
Well, if it was, I would remember it. That's why it's so not a big deal that I wouldn't even really remember.
Well,
it.
She's only done it once. She obviously is making.
No, I'm saying I don't even remember it. Like, but I guess she has, but I can't remember the moment. Like, I've never like hidden my farts. Like, I try not to.
No, I don't. But there is an awkward time where you're dating someone seriously.
Dating's different. Dating is a completely different ballgame.
Like my wife, I know, like she won't go to the bathroom downstairs if I'm downstairs. She'll go upstairs.
Like I think if you're dating, you're allowed maybe one because everyone has an accident.
No, you got it.
But if it becomes like two, it's a pattern.
16 years she hasn't done it once. But the thing about when you're dating someone, you go out of town. Is that you can't go to the bathroom in the room. You got to go to the bathroom downstairs. You can't go to the bathroom in the room. I told you about how my friend...
You wouldn't even let her go to the bathroom, the one that's connected to the bedroom?
Oh, no, not now. Okay. I'm talking about me, too.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But I told you my friend... I told you this story already, but my friend was staying in this hotel in New York, and he was with his fiance, by the way, and he had to take a dump, so he didn't want to do it in the room. So you went downstairs, and there was only one bathroom, and it was a unisex bathroom with one toilet in it. So he, like, gets in line, and there's, like, models and, like, all this stuff. So he goes in there and does what he has to do, and, like, sheepishly, like, first of all, he's in there for, like, 5 minutes. And then sheepishly has to open the door while all these, like, models are standing there. And he's like, whoopsies.
I've just gone, well, it looks like you're off the hook.
Yeah.
No one's going to think it was you.
Yeah. As we go through.
No, that's a tough position when you're first dating someone and you're at their house and you have to do that.
No.
Once you're married, there's no rules.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, she's tactful enough to go upstairs so it doesn't become obvious.
Just coughs really loud, which never works.
No, that would make it worse. Paul, go ahead.
Hey guys, so I got a quick story. So when I first started dating my wife, you know, I tried to make it, you know, a point to not have to, you know, pass gas. And it got so bad that, you know, I would have to wait for her to leave, make sure that she gets into her car before I, you know, start releasing all that gas. Oh, yeah. Horrible.
Oh, yeah.
Sure, you let her in the car, you open up the door, and you're the gentleman. You close the door, and that way it's soundproof.
Yeah.
Sure. Exactly. I mean, dude, that's a veteran move.
Yeah, but once a man's married, you can do whatever you want. That's the key in mind.
Women, not so much.
All right. Bird wants me to take this. All right, Scott, go ahead.
I told Bird I had a liberating Home Depot poop story, and he really liked that one. I think he's still laughing.
Yes.
I don't know if that last guy was talking about it because I was on hold, but I'm in Home Depot like 5 out of 7 days of the week, and it's like every time I'm in there, it needs to happen. I got to go. And I used to wait until, like, they're the loudest places on earth, bathrooms in Home Depot. I used to wait until, like, someone would flush in order to, you know, get it done.
Yeah.
Give it the old hard push. I finally just said the other day, I'm like, screw it. I'm just going for it. And it was the most liberating experience of my life. And now it's just, I go in those places, you let it happen. And I became a man last Tuesday at Home Depot. It feels really good.
I have been on the radio for 21 years. And I have heard more stories of Home Depot bathrooms. Like, dudes just go in there, and it's like...
I know what.
And it's just like the most active... It's just the most active bathroom in the history of the world. Like, it's the most active public bathroom. I swear to God, I've had... Every time, I've probably had 100 phone calls from guys that just like, yeah, I go to Home Depot, and it has to get done.
Even on the weekends. I was in there 2 weekends ago. It's nuts.
All right. We will take a break and be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Be a part of this thing.
Watch the show on the Sports Hub channel on the Twitch app.
Is that a euphemism for some kind of sex?
It's Touchdown Marriage on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich.
So Kawhi Leonard, the more I think about it, is the best thing that's happened to the NBA in years, because not only is he, and the decision that he made, the death of the super team, the way he did it is kind of hysterical. I mean, think about it. Are there any super teams left in the NBA, or are there just a bunch of teams that have two really good players together?
Two.
Okay, yeah. Right. So there's none of that right now, and Kawhi Leonard could have gone to the Lakers, as we know, and formed a super alliance with LeBron James and Anthony Davis, who, by the way, I guess LeBron James is going to be playing point guard, it was announced yesterday, which he essentially has been playing point guard for the last 10 years. Yeah,
the great part is Rondo signed there. It's like, oh, I'm going to get a chance to play point guard. No,
they're going to put him at center.
You're pretty much going to play 15 minutes.
It's basically what the NBA is now. I mean, it's positionless. You can do whatever you want.
So we keep hearing all this stuff now about Kawhi Leonard and what ended up happening during that silent period where nobody really knew anything. People pretended, obviously, that they knew stuff. We've learned that from Chris Broussard and everybody else. But nobody really knew what was going on and where Kawhi Leonard's mind was at. There was a story yesterday that came out that Kawhi Leonard even called Kyrie Irving and tried to recruit him to end up playing with him. But my favorite story that came out yesterday, in fairness, I don't believe it. But the fact that it's a story and it's out there and it's being reported by legitimate sources makes me laugh. They're saying that one of the main reasons that Kawhi Leonard did not end up signing with the Lakers was because of guess who?
Well, let's just go to the Magic 8-Ball and see what the Magic 8-Ball says.
They're saying that Magic Johnson couldn't keep his damn mouth shut, and that's what blew it.
Right.
It was a test of loyalty.
And he blabbed to the press.
He blabbed to the press.
Mother Nature caught up with the Celtics tonight.
They did. Well, apparently the Kawhi's people warned every team involved, do not leak anything, because Kawhi Leonard is extremely private, and we know this about him, and this will be something that shows us where your loyalty is. If there's any kind of seepage of information to the press, then we know that somebody on the inside isn't trustworthy. So they're going and they're pointing at Magic Johnson talking about these meetings in public. Even though Magic Johnson doesn't work for the Lakers,
right,
he still was trying to help the Lakers at the time. Chris Carter yesterday, which once again, Chris Carter's one of those guys. Who knows if he knows anything about what's going on behind the scenes. I don't know why you would trust him. But Chris Carter said this yesterday about the whole Magic Johnson situation.
So
there it is.
So Kawhi.
Oh, that's not him right there. That's Chris Broussard. Well, either way, Chris Carter said that it was Magic Johnson running. Here it is.
First, the Lakers made a lot of mistakes. Magic Johnson, the intel that he let out of that meeting, that was a mistake. Now, you can say, well, he's not working for the Lakers. Well, he's one of the faces of the Lakers. Some of the injuries that they've had in the past, Lonzo Ball, him being injured, 2 years, Ingram, his injuries, questions about the medical staff. How severe was the injury to LeBron James? Why did it take him so long to come back?
Sorry, I stopped listening after I heard the words Magic Johnson, because that's all that mattered to me.
Yeah, and you could see him doing that. Oh. I mean, this is a guy who it had to have at least been a reason. Left the Lakers because he couldn't tweet. Like, he so badly wants to be loved and just...
That he just can't shut his mouth.
Yeah, he can't shut his mouth. Now, were there other reasons other than that?
Of course.
Of course. However...
The fact that it's even being mentioned is just awesome.
No, but I'm talking about leaving the Lakers. I mean, part of leaving the Lakers was he didn't like that he couldn't, you know, talk
tweet.
To people.
Couldn't tweet.
I'm feeling more better about the Boston Celtics than I am about the Miami Heat.
Well, one good thing, though, is that at least the Lakers did make a huge move. Somebody call Mike Gorman. Maybe that's why he texted you the picture with the shotgun, because they signed Avery Bradley.
Mm-hmm.
Avery
Bradley? Oh, he would not trade unless it was Kevin Durant or LeBron James.
And to Magic Johnson, he tweeted this: Avery Bradley is an outstanding pickup for the Lakers with his incredible defense and ability to hit the three-point shot. Thank you, Magic Johnson. Appreciate the insight.
He is a treasure.
Way to go, Magic.
He is an absolute treasure. Don't you ever change, Magic.
Avery Bradley's good for 20 a night.
Avery, Magic, what's the best thing about the playoffs?
You know why I love the playoffs? Because it can...
All the pressure.
Yeah, which it didn't seem like he was too awake at that point.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Jake Brennan's going to join us here at the Traceland podcast. He's got a book coming out. We'll talk to him in just a moment.
I think Boston will win.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.